Dallas City Council meeting for October 26, 2011 to order. We had Pastor Gordon Dabbs of Crest Church of Christ going to have our invocation this morning, but he is running late. So if we can all rise, I will lead us in prayer. Dear God of the ages, God of today, God of tomorrow, bless this city with your love. Help us to make our decisions with humility and with a focus on each other. Thank you for all the things you've given us, and help the Rangers. Amen.
Help the Rangers. Go Rangers. Go Rangers.
All right. Miss Alonzo. Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, keep it warm so Colby can won't have to pitch in the rain. Thank you. Ms. Rios will entertain our open microphone speakers this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your morning speakers with Robert E. Jones, followed by Sterling McCoy, Robert Doss, Jennifer Fulbright, and Charles Tillman. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council.
Ms. Rios, I will thank you for reading that, and before we take our first speaker, I'd like Ms. Hasso to speak to us, because I think we've got some special guests today, and I want to make sure we recognize them.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. We are fortunate this morning to welcome a group of businessmen from Dubai, and I would like you guys to stand up as I call your name. They are here on a business mission. We have Marianne Mubarak Al-Serkal. She is the Head of Excellence Initiatives in Dubai. Abdullah Sultan Al-Sharif, the Senior Prosecutor. The Vice President of Dubai Airports, Jamal Zal bin Krishan. We have Major Tamin Al-Haj, who is the Dubai Police General. Captain Khalid Abin Medea Al-Fasi, who is the Ministry of Interior for the United Arab Emirates. Ibrahim Ustadi, a presenter. Tariq Ahmed Al-Shamazi, the Head of Pumping Stations Operations Section in Dubai. Sharon Larimer and Evan Amir Eustace. Thank you, guys. If you'll stand up. We welcome you to the City of Dallas. We hope you've had a good trip so far. We know you were at the airport yesterday. We are here to welcome you and to be sure that we can be of any help to you in future business. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome. The weather is like this all the time, okay? We'll just pass the word out. Thank you. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first speaker is Robert E. Jones. Speakers do have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the screen. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking. If you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
To the Dallas City Mayor and Council members, good day. My name is Robert E. Jones. I live at 4418 Ambassador Way, Apartment 258, Boss Springs, Texas, 75180. This is for case DC-8305680. Let this letter be read into the record. The City of Dallas asks the court to order it to provide an attorney. The question now is, why the delay? I am a member of Clean for Environmental Justice, Otis Fagan, Senior President. I'm here to request the mayor and the council to expedite the process and abide by the court ruling and give us our court order attorney. There is no excuse for this case to be prolonged. I urge you, Mr. Mayor, in the name of justice, to abide by and under the laws of the Constitution, which is supposed to be the foundation of this country. Legal systems supply equal rights and opportunity for parties to resolve this case by giving us the court order attorney to review the court order with us and be well aware of the duties placed upon him by it and are desirous and capable of carrying out those duties in full compliance. I appeal to you, Mr. Mayor, and the City Council to move expeditiously to give us the court order attorney and allowing him to assist with what has been denied us in the court order in reference to housing, welfare, and public health. The city inaction is forcing me and others in this community into poverty. The city inaction is forcing me to pay medical bills. The city inaction is forcing me to pay funeral costs for loved ones. When the city abides by the law, the city action under the court order will not be a cost to the city of Dallas any more than the court. The court ordered all the above referenced expenses covered by the trust fund, of which Clean for Environmental Justice have filed claims with the Attorney General Office. When the city abides by the law in giving us the court order, he or she will provide the Attorney General with my medical records as requested by CEO under Appendix B. Will the City of Dallas provide the court order attorney that the city asks the court to order the city to provide? I will appreciate a written response as soon as possible. Thank you. P.S. Mr. Mayor Rollins, I urge you to recall your pledge to protect Dallas communities. I will never vote to put any neighborhoods at risk of my money. Thank you, and I request that your copy of this be given to the mayor, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Fernie McCoy. Robert Goss will follow Mr. McCoy, and then Jennifer Fulbright, Charles Tillman.
Good evening. My name is Fernie McCoy. I live at 2425 Limerock Trail. My home number is 972-222-9085. Case number, DC 83005-680. Let this be written into the record. To the City of Dallas, I ask the court order that it might be provided attorney. The question is, why the delay? I am a member of the Queen Association of Environmental Justice. Otis Fagan is the president. I'm here to request the mayor and the city council to expedite the process to abide the court ruling that give us our right under the attorney. There is no excuse for you to hold this much longer. I urge you, Mr. Mayor, in the name of justice, to abide under the law, Constitution, which is supposed to be the foundation of this country's legal system, to supply equal rights, opportunity to the parties, and resolve this case as given to us by the court order. Attorney to review the court under the review the court order with us, and to be well aware of the duties placed upon him by it, its desires and capabilities caring for these duties in full compliance. I appeal to the mayor and the city council to expedite expeditiously to give us the court order attorney and allowing him to assist with what has been denied us in the court, ruling in order to reference of housing, welfare, and public health. The city in action is forcing me and others to go into community in poverty. The city in action is forcing me to pay medical bills. The city in action is forcing me to pay funeral costs to loved ones. When the city abide by the law, the city will or action will be under the law. Order will not be the cost of the city of Dallas any more than the court. Order all of the reference expenses is covered by the trust fund, which is the trust of environmental justice, which we filed and claimed with the Attorney General at the Crime Victim Compensation there. When the city abides by the law...
Thank you, Mr. McCoy. Your time's up. Thank you very much.
I would like to take this here and to offer this to the mayor.
Please.
Your next speaker is Robert Dawes.
Good morning, City Mayor.
Good morning,
City Council. I'm here on the behalf of the homeless that y'all created a place that they have no jobs at all, and they spread the city and into the community because they're looking for work, and we have to create some kind of job for them. We don't have that. I mean, we have housing, but we don't have jobs for them. And we have a plan that can create jobs for the homeless. Even though it may not be that much, but it will sell for a small entertainment to have money in their pockets. But we don't have that. And we're trying to set up some kind of program that could store them jobs. And it is there. We looked out there and we've seen it, and it's there. So my issue today is that we need to come up with some kind of solution with jobs. They have a job ready program over there at the bridge, but that don't seem to work because a lot of the people's over there that can work, but, you know, they have other problems. We don't have nothing in the states to help them out. So what I'm asking the city and the mayor to look into this and see what we can do about this, and it's getting close to the holidays, and they would love to have some kind of help. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Fulbright. Charles Tilleman will follow.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm here to speak on behalf of three separate entities. Number one, I am a 39-year veteran of the U.S. Postal Service. Also, I am a member of NARF, National Association of Retired Federal Employees. Also, I'm here to represent my union, the American Postal Workers Union. This past week, I spent 2 days at Menards at Fort Worth Avenue in Hampton. The store manager there allowed me to stand there and pass out flyers to his customers as they came in, notifying them of the Postal Service's plans to close the main post office at Interstate 30 in Selden. You would be surprised at the reaction of most people. Some people were like in disbelief, no way, how can you close the main post office? It's the only post office now that affords us after-hour services. It's so centrally located, easy accessibility, and also it provides a service for the community, the inner city. The people who will be most affected are our elderly, our handicapped, and our minorities. I had one lady, an older Hispanic lady, that was so upset, and because there were so many customers that came in that store that were Hispanic, and I could not communicate with them, she sat with me for 1 hour to be able to tell people exactly what we were doing and why we were there. I received a phone call yesterday from the store manager saying that he had an overwhelming number of calls thanking us for informing the public. This is something the Postal Service is not doing. We're also concerned about what will happen to the other businesses in that area. Those businesses will dry up. I also stood out in front of the main post office after I was cautioned by postal management that I could not secure signatures, I could pass out the flyers. And it was amazing to me how many people come to that post office that although they don't live in that area, they frequent that area, they work in downtown, that is so conveniently located for them. And again, this is about service. I could stand here and talk to you about the employees that are standing behind me. However, they have guarantees. The Postal Service has to find them jobs. We lost over 500 employees 2 years ago. Some of these people went as far as Oklahoma. But we are concerned mostly, and that's what I'm here for, to speak on behalf of the citizens of Dallas. They have a right to this service. They deserve this service, and I cannot understand why anyone on this council would not support what we're trying to do for their citizens. So that's what I'm here for. I really beg upon you to please take into consideration a proposal that we're going to, my president, Mr. Wandy, is going to give to you later. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Carl.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Yes, and Mayor, let me just say, and before the next speaker comes, one to Mr. Jones, Mr. McCoy, we're hearing you, and I'm certain the mayor is going to begin to really follow up, so I appreciate you two coming down. As it relates to the post office, I would like to know, what is it that we, the city council, can do? I'm very supportive of not closing the post office, C.W. Clark, the main post office, none of the post offices. I feel the same of what you're saying and what you feel. But specifically, and I understand you all are going to give us something, but give a direction so that we can know what we can do. Because this is the United States government, and it's not the Dallas City Council. If it were a decision of the Dallas City Council, that would be one thing, and I think that you would find us to be pro-post office. Can't speak for the whole council, but I would imagine that no one wants to see the Postal Service have an adverse effect on our citizens. But you all need to tell, at least me, what is it specifically that as a member of the Dallas City Council we can do to assist your efforts? And that's what I need response.
Okay, a letter from the council signed by all council members saying that you support our efforts. You are also citizens of the city of Dallas,
right?
So your voice needs to be heard just like ours.
Okay.
So a simple letter, and again, we do have a proposal that we are going to give to you later.
Okay.
But, you know, names and positions, unfortunately, for some, that carries a lot of weight.
Okay.
As opposed to just me, John Q. Public, calling the post office and saying, please don't close this post office. This was stopped 2 years ago.
Right.
And our then mayor also supported it and did send a letter. I still have a copy of that letter that he sent to the post office.
Okay.
If the pressure is put on, and the pressure has to be put on, you say it's federal government. Again, we can show you on paper, not just by me speaking, that post office is one of the most profitable post offices in the United States.
Okay.
So you have to ask yourself, why that post office? Why? Again.
A letter from us.
Right. And that's what we would like to see.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. I think Ms. Carraway kind of answered, asked my that was going to be my question. What is it that we can do? Because I was there 2 years ago at the first meeting, and this has been an ongoing conversation two and a half years ago. At that time, I thought it was worked out, but I guess it's come back up. I then voiced my opinion. I guess the question I want to ask when the next speaker comes down is who district is that when it comes to the Senate district? I guess it's one of the things that has to be asked, which senator district that is. Have the postal workers got together and went to that Senate office here in our city to meet with the senator from that district and to talk about their concerns and why they feel that post office do not need to be closed at this point, and how much pressure is being put on Washington to hear what you're trying to say. When I was at the meeting, there was a couple of people from Washington that was talking about the reason they wanted to close the post office. And what I heard 2.5 years ago, it was based on budget concerns. And so if that is the case, is it still budget concerns? And why, like you said, why that particular post office? So if someone can tell me that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Thank you, Mayor. You know, I support you wholeheartedly. You know, it's about location. I think that's post office in the best location in the city of Dallas, the central location. I know we all council members use that during campaign to take our mail there and all the business around there to do it. Number one, also on January the 15th, everybody will probably be there to mail their tax return back to D.C. April 15th. But the key is, number one, is that we as council members, also citizens, we recognize the problem. I have met with Councilwoman Edmund E. Johnson. I have been on many meetings. I am going to continue to meet, you know, with the federal government and see what we need to do. But I think what we need to do is to have a plan. And the plan is, number one, this is something that needs in our community, that everybody needs, and I believe this is the only major post office in the state of Dallas. So right now, I don't want that post office to be somewhere in a suburb. So we need to be fighting for the state of Dallas to make sure that post office stays in the state of Dallas for our business, because without a business, we cannot do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. I think we have a couple other speakers on this subject, so let's hear those, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Charles Tillman.
Yes, my name is Charles Tillman. I'm the Executive Vice President of the American Postal Workers Union, Dallas Area Local. And thank you for the opportunity to stand before you and to express our concerns and to, in fact, ask for your allegiance rather, with us in our effort to keep this landmark of the city of Dallas operational and fully functional. To go to the question specifically that's been raised by some of the council members, the Postal Service MPO rests in the district of Senator Royce West, who in fact has joined us in our efforts to keep this facility from closing, not only this time here, but also 2 years ago. He also joined us in our efforts to keep the decision makers from closing out that facility. There was another question, the second question to Councilwoman Davis's concern was that 2 years ago it was the issue of budget concerns. I just want to take a second just to address the budget concerns in which brings us here on today. Okay, 2006, the U.S. Congress passed legislation that mandated the U.S. Postal Service to pre-fund 75 years of health care, retirement health care benefits within a 10-year window. Now, unlike any other organization, be it government or be it private industry, no other agency is mandated to bore that type of mandate, that type of financial responsibility. A couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity to speak with Congressman Barton, in which everyone knows is an advocate for business, and I asked him the question, Congressman, if this type of mandate was placed on FedEx or UPS, tell me what the outcome of that would be. His response to me was that in fact would devastate, if not financially bankrupt, those organizations. So you have to ask yourself, if FedEx, if we're concerned about the FedExes and the UPSs and what a mandate like this it would do to them, why are we not concerned about an organization that does not take taxpayer money, that in fact is self-sufficient, that in fact without this mandate would be posting surpluses this day? So you ask yourself, when you ask about the budget concerns, this is a manufactured concern, Madam Councilwoman. Mm-hmm. This is a manufactured concern which is now plaguing a landmark that's in this city, and not only this city, but also other postal services throughout the United States. We're asking that you would join us in our efforts to keep this facility that employs over 1,400 employees, that patronize this city, that lives within this city. We're asking that you, in fact, would join us in our efforts to keep these people employed and the businesses fully functional within this area.
Thank you.
Your final speaker. Your final speaker is Carlton Williams. Carlton Williams.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Carlton Williams. I'm the clerk craft director for the American Postal Workers Union, and I also come to speak in behalf of protesting the closing of the main post office. I come as a customer, an employee, and a union representative. I'm not going to be as long-winded as my counterpart was. I'm just going to make this short and sweet because I don't want to be redundant. Basically, there are a couple of issues here. As you all know, the post office used to be a 24-hour operation. They reduced the hours back. Now they close at 11. Now they're getting ready to reduce it and close at 9 o'clock at night. This is going to affect the customers and also the revenue. It's going to affect the city of Dallas. What's going to happen to the money when, if they close it, the taxpayers' money and the revenue? We've been out trying to get petitions at the fair, at all of the businesses around here, trying to get the customers and the citizens of Dallas to make them aware of the closing. So we just ask you all, the city council, to make the members aware and the citizens of Dallas. We appeal to you all to help us in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Carraway?
I think Ms. Margolin. Let me just say this. I hear you, and I think the entire council hears you. I will follow the lead of the mayor. I will recommend and ask that we propose some type of letter or resolution from the council in support of. So I will do that, but I will ask for the leadership to do that as even before myself, but I am willing to sign on to be very supportive of making folks aware. I think this is a problem that needs to be addressed in Washington, and it goes even beyond State Senator Royce West. It needs to be in Washington. And that's where the ears need to be screened in, so that, because that's where the final result, the final decision is going to come. But whatever it is that I can do, whatever it is I'm sure this council can do, I want to assure you that we're ready to get into action. So I know we'll be waiting on your response and the letter that you're going to give us later this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. I will take it up with Councilwoman Hill, who works with Washington, and we'll discuss what the opportunities are in that committee. Okay? Thank you. With that, let's move on.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Michelle.
I just want the young woman who spoke earlier, Miss Fulbright, I just... You got younger and younger, because I'm 63, so you got younger and younger. Ms. Fulbright, before you leave the building today, if you would stop by my office and leave your information, what you have on here is your postal information, and I'd like to be able to talk with you at some different contact number. So if you would please stop by and leave that for me. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. We proceed now to your voting agenda. The first item is approval of minutes of the October 10, 2011 City Council meeting. Thank you.
Ms. Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As we discussed, there are a couple of items on the public hearing agenda, item 56, which is the Lower Greenville Bowling Alley, and then item 58, which is the Hall Arts District signage request. on both of those issues, I think that we're trying to work out some details on those and continue to talk about them. And so, colleagues, I'm going to propose that we defer both of those. And the reason I bring that up now is in case there are folks who want to come down and speak this afternoon, perhaps they don't need to make the trip if you all will concur with that decision.
So we'll take the vote on that deferment this afternoon, but just kind of that's we're just kind of announcing it so people got their plans. Okay, thank you, Ms. Hunt. The other thing I didn't do is give my DISD fact of the day, and there is an organization for anybody that cares about the schools called DallasKidsFirst.org. It's a nonpartisan group of concerned citizens and parents that believe that every kid in Dallas deserves access to quality public schools, and you can be active in DISD through that organization. So I give you that. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your consent agenda, your regular consent agenda, consists of items number 1 through 39 and your addendum items number 1 through 5. Pulled for individual consideration is item number 20, as Councilmember Griggs has a conflict of interest on that item. Item number 32 and 33 were corrected on the addendum, as those are public hearings, as well as Councilmember Carraway had also requested those items be pulled. And we do have three speakers signed up on those items. And that would basically be that you would approve on your consent, as the part of the consent agenda, items 1 through 31, and then items 34 through 39, and eliminate item number 20, and then also all of addendum items 1 through 5.
So we entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda without items 20 and 32 and 33. Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. If Councilmember Griggs would go ahead and step out of the council chamber. Thank you. Item number 20 is authorize a contract for a pavilion replacement and site furnishings at Westmoreland Park, located at 3600 West Illinois Avenue, Branco Industrial Services, LLC, best value proposer of 5.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Councilmember Griggs may return to the council chamber. Item number 32 and 33 need to be considered collectively. Again, these were amended on the addendum to the agenda. Item number 32 is a resolution authorizing number 1, an agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad Company for the I'm sorry. Okay, item number 32 is that it's a public hearing, will be considered after 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 40. Item number 40 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration for individual appointment, you have to the Board of Adjustment, Paula Leone, nominated by Councilmember Davis. Ross Coulter, to fill the panel seat section, is nominated by Councilmember Margolin. To the Community Development Commission, Patricia Spears is nominated by Councilmember Hill. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Randall Parker is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. For full council appointment to the Civil Service Board, you have Johnny L. Clark, nominated by Councilmember Hill.
Second.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 41 is an ordinance amending Section 6-4 of Chapter 6 of the Dallas City Code to amend the standards for approval of applications for variances from the spacing requirements for alcohol permits. We do have two individuals signed up to speak on this item. Pam Conley. Ms. Conley, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments to Mayor Rollins.
Good morning, Mayor and Council.
Good morning.
My name is Pam Conley.
I live in the 900 block of North Madison. In the 1100 block of North Madison is Hogg Elementary School. With all due respect, I would not like to see you have the authority to weigh the distance between Hogg Elementary and an alcoholic beverage establishment, or for that matter, any other school in the city of Dallas. Our distance measurements are small enough as it is. Frankly, I was disappointed to see this on the agenda and saddened to see that it was under the guise of economic vitality. You know, there's been discussion on our restaurants that have food and beverage license anyhow, that some of them are thinly disguised bars acting as restaurants. I know that you're wanting to attract economic development and that you think this is a way of doing it. Please find some other ways. You know, you can go out to the corner of Illinois and Vernon, and you can see vendors selling roses. They're not paying sales tax, collecting sales tax, or paying property tax. Go after that. You can go to the corner of Keith and Westmoreland, and they're selling comforters there. They're not paying property tax or collecting sales tax. Plus, this is taking away from our merchants that are going by the rules. So we are encouraging this by not enforcing it. Mayor Rawlings, you campaigned on a platform to help the Dallas schools. Do you really think this is going to help our schools? Council, you can do better than this. Please don't sell off our children for the sake of economic development. Alcohol, schools, economic development doesn't balance that. Thank you very much for your consideration. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Stephen Butt. Stephen Butt.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Stephen Butt. I represent HEB and most specifically the Central Market Division of our company, which is based here in Dallas. Joining Mayor Jennifer Heath, our in-house counsel, and also Mr. Myron Dornick, our outside counsel. Our company is in support of item number 41, which we believe will give us the flexibility to build new stores and future stores within the city of Dallas. So we appreciate the council's support of our amendment and request, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Butt. Appreciate it,
Mayor. Those were your only two speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hato?
I believe there are other speakers. Sorry to interrupt you.
I'm sorry. The city council rules require that individuals would have signed up in advance. However, if the city council decides to suspend the rules, we'll certainly allow that.
Well, on this issue, show of hands, who's here to speak? Okay. Is there some reason we just didn't understand the sign up? That's all right. You don't understand the rules?
Former city councilman.
I would like to make a motion to accept the four speakers that didn't know the rules.
That's fine.
Second.
That's fine. That's an important issue. Please come forward.
Including former council member Boston.
And I bet you guys will not use all your 3 minutes.
Please state your name and address for the record. Also, we'll have our city secretary's office staff give you a card to fill out for our records, if you don't mind. Thank you.
My name is Joseph McElroy. I reside at 404 East 6th Street, Dallas, Texas, 75203. I'm here as a property owner in the area and also as a concerned citizen who does a fair amount of development in the inner city. We have been fortunate in recent years that the Dallas Independent School District has acquired funds to build a large number of new schools and throughout the inner city. Unfortunately, as a result, the certain areas of the city now. This, without the proposed ordinance change, have been eliminated from the possibility of having grocery stores, gas stations, because, like it or not, gas stations want to sell alcohol. My specific neighborhood, Lake Cliff, has the enlarged Adamson and three new institutions that have been built there in the last 2 years. We don't have a place we can go and get gas, a new place to put a gas station, because of the proximity rule. And I would ask that you consider the fact that the inner city needs economic development, and but we also want to work with the schools, and we want to be able to supply the services the citizens need. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Simpson? Or whoever's.
Next speaker.
Good morning. I'm Richard Patton, 202 West Pembroke at Zanes. I am a property owner in Oak Cliff. My office is in Oak Cliff. I do own three properties that are affected by this ruling today. All of these can operate as private clubs. We're trying to lower the cost of their operations, and I'm just here to speak in favor of it. You know, we have an attendant that's here to speak today that went through the process. We got our CO. Their liquor license was approved, and now it's an issue with the city with the new ordinance, and they're saying that it will be rejected. So, you know, we're asking you to approve this today, and, you know, there's individuals like us that have been over here in Oak Cliff for quite some time, investing our time and money, and we'd like to see this area grow and expand. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Christine Ertl-Jack. My husband Jonathan and I own Jonathan's Oak Cliff, the restaurant at 1111 North Beckley Avenue. We've been open for approximately 5 months. And as Richard said, we have one of the new food and beverage certificates here in the city. We have been thriving as a restaurant, and we ask that y'all consider this variance, because it really would assist us. The alternative we can do, yes, is to go and get a private club. To me, it seems redundant. It seems like we're going to have a liquor license regardless, except it's going to impact me financially as a business owner, which would put me in some financial peril if I had to go and reapply for another license. Which is why I ask y'all for consideration. We are a restaurant. We focus on food. Our alcoholic beverage sales were 16.9% of our total sales last month. They were 13.5% the previous month. So we are maintaining our position as a restaurant. We are known for our food, and we just like to have the accompaniment of beverages. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. My name is Bob Simpson, probably the most embarrassed former council member that you will be having in front of you today. My apologies for my oversight on the rules. I come to you not in my capacity with the Oak Cliff Chamber, and I need to clarify that very specifically. I come to you as a resident of Oak Cliff. I come to you as a property owner. My chamber has not taken a position on this at my request, in all honesty. The ordinance in front of you today does not change where businesses can locate. It is not a school versus alcohol issue, as it was put to you earlier. This is truly a way for the city of Dallas to offer incentives to good actors in the restaurant business by providing them the opportunity to have a regular liquor license like every other restaurant in the city of Dallas instead of going after a private club license. And it will save them $15,000 to $20,000 a year in cost of goods sold, in employee labor, in accounting fees, in corporate fees, in filing fees, all those kind of things that made that wet dry election that we had here recently pass so overwhelmingly. This doesn't change where people can locate. It does change their economics, and it changes it dramatically. But it puts the power in your hands to create those variances if you should deem that those people are worthwhile and they are that kind of a class act. So this doesn't change anything but put power into your hands, and it gives you an added incentive, and it gives the businesses an added incentive to be a class act and a good neighbor. And so I would ask you to support the ordinance. And then at the future time, when you have good actors come in front of you asking for a variance, make sure they're good actors. Grant them the variance if they deserve it. And if they don't deserve it, make them pay the higher fees. And so that's all this is about, is the opportunity to reward those that are good and to put the power in your hands to make that decision. So with that, again, my apologies. Thank you for your time.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hossel.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I have received 17 emails in favor of this ordinance and 9 who are opposed. I will say that some of those, most of these are from the area surrounding the restaurants that this young lady was talking about on Madison Street, Zang, Canty, and Ballard. So I am going to move to approve this and wholeheartedly support the ability for us as council members to make sure that we are rewarding the good restaurants or the good players in economic development and have the ability to say no to the ones who are not doing a good job.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and we have a second. Now discussion, Ms. Margolin, you.
Most of the discussion so far has been about restaurants, but this also includes a change for supermarkets. We have previously enacted an ordinance that would allow us to grant a variance for beer and wine sales for supermarkets that are 50,000 square feet or more. This would simply change it to 30,000 square feet. 30,000 square feet is still a very good size. It's not to be confused with a little neighborhood store or a convenience store. And so this will make it possible in one particular case for a central market to locate at Preston Royal. It's near a school, but I don't think that when this comes before us, we'll most likely not have a problem if Central Market is a bad actor. Similarly, as other supermarkets come before us, we can evaluate them one by one and make a determination. And so I think that this is a very important change, and I wholeheartedly support it.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Davis.
Yes, can I have the attorney to come up, please? I want to make sure that that I'm clear on the changes. Now, what about a gas station?
The proposed ordinance that you're considering today does not cover convenience stores.
Okay.
Which would include like gas stations with a food mart in it. No.
Okay. So it would be only the restaurants?
Restaurants and grocery stores over 30,000 square feet.
Okay. And so they would have to come before us?
Variance.
Okay.
If they're located too close to a protected use.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be supporting this change. I think the sale of alcohol is a very fact-specific inquiry, and this certainly gives more discretion and power to the city council. And also with respect to restaurants, we certainly want to encourage them to get food and beverage certificates and to be an actual restaurant rather than go the private club route, which has a lower threshold for operation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. I also would be supporting this. Also, I think that grocery stores, you know, we look at in the Southern Dallas, how can we get those stores south of the Trinity River? So this might be a measure that we could use to make sure we have opportunity for some of the stores. As you know, we do compete with the suburbs in south of that, and they do have the advantage of the location in the Southern Dallas. So I would be supporting, I think that it do not take in consideration of the education process, because we just did one at Kroger's over at City Place, which we did a variance also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Koop?
Yeah, I had the same concerns that Ms. Davis had. I think she probably was thinking as I was, that perhaps they could be put in stores of less than 30,000 square feet. And she has areas in her district, as I do in my area of Spring Valley and Coit, that it would really severely impact if it was less than 30,000 square feet. So I'll be supporting the resolution that's put before us, but I do want the council members to know that there are areas of the town that, if it was less than 30,000 square feet, that it would severely affect, that have multiple schools within a one-mile area. So thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Ms. Medrano?
Thank you, Mayor, and I will be supporting this item. Mr. Atkins just pointed out that a year and a half ago we had a variance over in the Cedar Place area, City Place area over on Haskell and Capitol. If you drive by there, it is going up. A large grocery store is going up. It is going to make a tremendous difference in the area, and it will be employing over 230 people with employees with a living above the living wage. So it is going to be convenient for folks, not crossing over Central Expressway. And I appreciate my colleagues supporting me in this, and this also, I am proud to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. I will also be supporting this. I think appreciate organizations like Central Market and what they're trying to do with the city. I'm looking forward to you being in southern Dallas at some point, because we think we can make you some money down there. And with that spirit, I will be supporting it. I do believe alcohol and hospitals and schools is potentially a tricky thing, and I think we need to be very reverent of that and understanding. With that, I would offer amendment to this amendment that would ask for 2 seconds whenever this would happen. So we would have to have at least 3 people, you know, get in the middle of this and make sure it's the right thing. Just, it doesn't block it, but I think it makes those standards just a little bit higher. So I'll make that motion. Mr. Atkins would second the amendment to Ms. Hato. Is this yours? No, this is you made that motion. I guess what we do? We need to vote on this amendment, my amendment, right? Or do you want to rephrase? Would you accept it as a friendly?
I'll accept it as a friendly amendment, and we can vote on the motion.
Okay, good. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Ms. Hunt is opposing, for the record. Thank you.
Item number 42 is a resolution authorizing, number 1, an interlocal agreement with the North Central Texas Council of Governments, NCTCOG, detailing project roles and responsibilities for a sustainable development grant program grant in the amount of $125,000 in RTC local funds to be administered by NCTCOG for the downtown building block study. Number 2, acceptance of private funds from the Central Dallas Community Development Corporation of Central Dallas CDC to the City of Dallas in the amount of $31,250. Number 3, transfer of funds from the City of Dallas to NCTCOG in the amount of $31,250, serving as a local match. And number 4, return of any unused local match fund balance from the NCTCOG to the City of Dallas to the Central Dallas CDC.
Second.
The motion is second. Discussion? Okay. Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 43 and addendum item number 6 are next. I'm required to read their statement. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 43 is authorize an economic development grant with JS and JH Enterprises, Inc., related to the development of a retail building located at 3502 Simpson Stewart Road in Southern Dallas.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Atkins, I think this is in your district.
Thank you, ma'am.
Turn on.
This is a great project. We've been looking at the corner of Bonneville and Simpson Stewart for the last 5 years, and it used to be a Popeye chicken sitting there. It's been vacant. It's been run by high crime area. We did a 10-7-20 there. Crime is down in that area. There was no so-called grocery store in that particular area. And a couple of developers came in and said, you know what? We want to do something at that particular location. And what they decided to do, we're just not going to put a convenience store, but what we're willing to do, we would take 1,000 square foot inside the store and make a small market to sell fresh food, fresh vegetables in that area since there's nothing there. Until maybe in the long run, someone would come back and bring the grocery store and see how the market's burned. So this is a great project. They put $1.5 million in the project. That they are going to be there. They are vested interest to us, and I think this is a great economic opportunity. It will clean that corner up. There will be a high profile opening there. I think that you will see something that is the community has been asking for, but you see people that came forward who have did this project before. Those projects, it looked like, I guess I'll call it name. There will be a Shell station there, but it would probably be 6,000 square foot. Another 3,000 retail would be leased out. But inside this particular convenience store, you would have a fresh deli and market there, and fresh vegetables, in which that's the key there. With that, Mayor, I move it to go forward.
Okay. We have a motion in 2 seconds. Other discussions, questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is authorize the city manager to purchase deed restrictions from Central Dallas Community Development Corporation or its wholly owned subsidiary to ensure affordable permanent supportive housing units on the 1531 Malcolm X Boulevard property through December 31, 2027, excuse me. And for the record, this item does relate to District 2, not District 7.
Mayor Mayfield.
Yes, I'm sorry, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I am definitely supporting this. In June of this year, Central Dallas CDC formally requested that the City of Dallas join the following partners in the development of this facility with a grant of $500,000. We have the partnership of J.J. Caruth Jr. Foundation, the Meadows Foundation, City Square, MetroCare, Dallas County, Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, UT Southwestern, and the Corporation of Supportive Housing. I think it's an excellent way of how we are supporting affordable, permanent, supportive housing in this area. And Ms. Davis is adjoins me, is an adjacent district by this area, and I think she has spoken more about this project than I have in full support. So, Mr. Mayor, colleagues, I really hope that you support me on this item, item 6. We did have a briefing in housing on this item as well, so I move to approve.
I will be second that motion.
We got a second discussion, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, we need 2 seconds.
I second.
Okay, we've got 2 seconds, Ms. Hill.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilwoman Davis, thank you so very much for bringing this forward. Housing, as y'all have heard me say so many, many times, is so important. It is the first step in the way back. If mm-hmm. you don't have a closet to hang your suit in, you can't even think about going to look for a job. Thank y'all so very, very much for this very important step in the right direction. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
First of all, when this came to the Housing Committee, I was very supportive of it. This is going to be a wonderful, I think, facility on Malcolm X, which Ms. Madrono and I share that portion of the district. I see this as a one-stop shop for those individuals. And the beauty of it all, MetroCare will be on board as well, which I think is a plus. They will have a job training center, which I think is a plus. They will have doctors on hand to deal with the individual who have some critical needs, which I think is a plus. And not only that, I think it helps the bridge some. I think this is what we need throughout our city. And I support it. And then it has housing, which I think is a plus. And it also helps those individuals who perhaps are homeless to try to get their GED and to look at some college as well. But the critical part of it is that MetroCare is on hand. And I think that's the plus there to help those individuals so they can take their medicine during the day and have some quiet time to just kind to reflect. And so it's going to be, I think, Ms. Madrono, a wonderful facility in your district, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any other comments? I will add that the media seems to love when we get in fights about permanent supportive housing. Okay? I hope they love as much when we all agree on how to get this done. Because every time we do this, we take citizens of Dallas that are mentally ill, that are on the streets, and we make it a safe place for them. Crime goes down. I laud your leadership, Ms. Madrono, Ms. Davis, for the Housing Committee. Thank you very much for this. And I will have my full support as well. And challenging the Housing Committee, as we talked about last week, how we get more of these. So thank you very much. With that, any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your agenda items for the morning session, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will reconvene at 1 p.m. Oh yes, at 12 o'clock we have Navidad in the barrio. So please come for that announcement in preparing for Christmas. Thank you.
City Council recess at 10:08.
Just want to remind that each of the council members, you have a school from each of the districts that will be receiving books and would love for your participation so you could have a photo op with the principal of a school in your district will be here at 11:30. Thank you.
All right, let's call the afternoon session together for the Dallas City Council meeting of October 26, 2011. We will be considering public hearings and related actions. Ms. Rios.
Thank you. The council reconvenes at 1:07. You have for your consideration for the afternoon session your consent zoning docket, which consists of agenda items 44 through 51, pulled for individual consideration, are agenda items 45 by Council Member Griggs as well. That item says requires three-quarters vote. Agenda item number 48 is pulled by Council Member Hunt, and agenda item number 51 is pulled by Council Member Atkins. So for your consideration, you have agenda items 44 through 51 for your consideration, with the exception of item 45, 48, and 51. I will first read the items into the record and proceed with a public hearing.
Also, do we want to reiterate what we're going to be doing on deferring so if folks are here?
Mr. Mayor, Madam Secretary, what about 32?
You had pulled 32. We'll come back and revisit those.
And those are already individual. Thank you. As well, items number 56 and 58 are being deferred by Council Member Hunt. There was a courtesy announcement earlier in the morning session to ensure that the word could get out to the general public that would have wanted to attend. And
so if you're here to speak on 56 or 58, we will not be hearing that this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Item number 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1711 for a vehicle or engine repair or maintenance use on property within Subdistrict 3 of Planned Development District Number 533, the Siapon Special Purpose District Number 1, on the northeast side of Siapon Freeway south of Lake June Road. Item number 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Planned Development District Number 269, the Deep Elm Near East Side Special Purpose District, on the south side of Elm Street east of Good Latimer Expressway. Item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit to allow the sale or service of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a commercial amusement inside on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 Liquor Control Overlay on the southwest corner of East R.L. Thornton Freeway and South Buckner Boulevard. Item number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 Liquor Control Overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned Subdistrict 6 within Planned Development District Number 830 with a D District Overlay on the northwest corner of Northampton Road and West Jefferson Boulevard. Item number 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1787 for a Class A dance hall on property zoned a GR General Retail Subdistrict within Planned Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on property on the west corner of Wycliffe Avenue and Brown Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the items that were just read into the record? Are there any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, if you'll please step up to the podium, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Your comments should be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. If you would please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Robert Wright. I'm here representing Charlie Howard, Inc., the applicant for a special use permit at 2525 Wycliffe. We agree with the City Planning Commission's recommendations, except we would like to request from the City Council a 5-year renewal as opposed to the 3-year renewal. We have been a good citizen. We have been in business in that area for approximately 20 years. Our previous location at 4117 Maple Avenue was bought by the Crow family, and we had to move around the corner, and that we were grandfathered at our old location, and we had to apply for a special use permit, which was granted 2 years ago. We have always been a good operator and a good citizen. We have never, in the 20 years that we have been operating our business, have we been denied a dance hall license. Have we been denied a late hours permit. We participate in community development and also nonprofit charity organizations with the Sam Houston School, where we make sure that every child in that school receives a Christmas present, which is the poorest school district in the DISD. We would say that in our behalf that we have proven over quite an extended period of time that we are a good corporate citizen and that we would like to have our SUP renewed for an additional 5 years, not 2 years. Also have a handout, if y'all would like for me to provide that with to the council.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any questions?
I do. Thank you, Mayor. You said 2 years on our agenda item. It says 3 years. You said an additional two?
We had a renewal the first time for 2 years.
Yes.
We applied for an additional renewal for 5 years.
Right.
The City Plan Commission and the staff recommended 3. We are asking the council for an additional 5-year renewal, not 3.
My question is, what exactly happened at CPC? Because I went over my the notes, and it really didn't indicate. It just indicated that someone had made a motion for 3. What actually happened?
I'm sorry? I didn't understand.
In CPC, why didn't you get the 5?
I don't know why.
David?
We were here, and we requested 5.
I'm sorry, you were here in...
We were here and present during the City Plan Commission hearing. We requested 5. It was told to me by one of the City Plan Commissions that your representative was not here, and that's why we didn't get 5 years.
I didn't notice that Ms. Wally was here. David, can you please answer? I have no problem with the 5. I just want to know what exactly happened.
That's what I was.
There was no indication in the notes, in our packet.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
Thank you. David.
I just want to know if there's a reason.
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Wally was not present, but typically with the Planning Commission, they speak amongst each other if one of them is going to be absent. So I believe that was the motion that Commissioner Bagley made on that case was just to follow staff recommendation for the 3-year time period.
Okay. So there was not an indication of something was wrong there? Or?
No, I think it was just our typical concern that, whereas a business may not present a problem, of course, the zoning goes with the land. And if something should happen, that business changes hands, that does create a problem. They were just more comfortable with a shorter time period.
Okay. And how long have you been in business at that location? The 2 years already? And then previously on Maple?
That location, 2 years. Previously, Councilman, we were in business on Maple Avenue for 18 years.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. And I would like to move motion that that we grant a 5-year SUP with no automatic renewal.
Okay, so we have a motion and second to amend item number 50.
Yes, number 50.
In the consent agenda as read.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do need to find out if there are any other speakers on the consent zoning docket. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation? Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? Are you okay? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an IM Industrial Manufacturing District and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a convenience store with drive-through on property zoned in LI Light Industrial District on the southwest corner of Southwest Moreland Road and Banning Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request. We received no replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. However, due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of the area request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of the council is required.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
I move, and then I'll have some comments too. I move to deny the application. And the reason for that is this is a beer bar. It's going to be its size is about 1,400 square feet. It's going to be a converted auto use that they want to drive through for, and this will be off Westmoreland in Illinois. And I have 25 letters of opposition that I would like to enter into the record from residents in the area, names like Helen Hartz, Charletta Compton, Raymond Crawford, Johnny Crowder, Mary Hassan, Johnny England, Mario Reyes, Dean Valenzuela, all neighborhood leaders that live near this location. And this is really, this is at the border of District 1 and 3. And less than a quarter mile away, we have a $100 million DART stop at Westmoreland in Illinois. And I think we can do better for economic development and start bringing in, expanding the beer barns from Cockrell Hill farther to the southeast. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greggs. We have a motion to deny. Ms. Osso seconds that. Ms. Koop, any other discussion? All in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an LC light commercial sub-district within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned AP parking sub-district within Plan Development District Number 193 on the southeast line of South Versailles Avenue, northeast of Lemon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 6 replies in favor and 5 replies in opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Go ahead.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, you will be allowed 3 minutes.
I'm Kirk Williams, 5400 Renaissance Tower. I represent the applicant. I'm in opposition to one condition at the Planning and Zoning Commission. After the Planning and Zoning Commission unanimous recommendation for approval, the tenant at this location asked us to add one additional use to the deed restrictions so that they could remain legal and conforming prior to our being able to acquire the property and to build a new car dealership at that location. We'll be removing the old CC's Pizza location. The adjacent lot is currently zoned for parking district. We are interested in putting a new car dealership at that location, and I would respectfully request that you substitute the first page of the deed restrictions to allow a commercial parking lot as an allowed use. I've talked to the council person in the district. I think it's supportive, but we're here to answer any specific questions. It's a little rare that we're here speaking in opposition to our own request, which was approved unanimously, but we simply need this one page substituted.
Are there any... Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the request for an LC light commercial subdistrict in PD 193 and accept the deed restrictions with the following change volunteered by the applicant, that commercial parking lot be added to the deed restrictions as a permitted main use.
We have a motion and a second by Ms. Koop. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-7.5A single-family district on property zoned ACR Community Retail District on the south side of Walnut Hill Lane, west of Audelia Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 84 notices to property owners from the 400 feet of their request, received 32 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Harry Knight, 5400 Renaissance Tower, Dallas, Texas, representing the property owner. We're in favor of the zoning, but we'd like for it to be held under advisement until November 7th with the public hearing remaining open. Be happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Allen's on a retreat on state of business. I move to hold this matter under advisement until November 7th and leave the public hearing open.
We have a motion and a second to leave the public hearing open. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now with your regular individual items. Item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to an alcoholic beverage establishment for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Plan Development District number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on the west line of Greenville Avenue north of Alta Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 23 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request, received one reply in favor and one reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Mr. Mayor, Council, I'm Philip Kingston. I'm on the board of the Lower Greenville Neighborhood Association and also representing a coalition of five other Lower Greenville area neighborhood associations who have come together to represent the neighborhood's point of view on these applications. Let me just say, with regard to this applicant, we do support this applicant, and we think that the length of SUP that the CPC has recommended is very appropriate. This is an applicant that reached out to us through its representative, did what it said it was going to do, cleaned up its parking lot, doesn't have a lot of crime problems, and is somebody that we think we can move forward with redeveloping Greenville in the way we all hope it will. We just need to talk to you about one thing. This is another applicant, which we've talked to you before about this, that has Delta Credit parking. Delta Credit parking is fake parking, which unfortunately causes real problems for the neighborhood. When you don't require somebody to have parking places, that means that their patrons are parking in the neighborhoods. That leads to more police calls. That puts pressure on your police resources and your budget, and it's just a bad idea. The history of these things is that they were initially thought to be a good historic preservation tool to allow redevelopment of older buildings that didn't have parking. In reality, they've done exactly the opposite. When you give a building fake parking credits, the landlord is incented to lease that building to uses that require the most parking: bars, restaurants, nightclubs, dance halls. You have guaranteed that that building will always be leased to those uses. At the same time, you discourage the landlord from renovating the building, because if you change the footprint, you lose the Delta credits, which we believe also encourages them to avoid maintenance. So, in fact, you're hurting historic properties by continuing with Delta credits. So unless this body is going to open up the entire parking ordinance or come in and do away with Delta credits in their entirety, a great surgical use of your authority, and one that allows you to exercise your judgment, is to make as a condition of special use permits full parking with no deltas. We'd like to see that on everybody who comes to you with Delta credits. And the reason I mention it, honestly, for this applicant, they're a good applicant. We're not real worried about them. But this is a problem that's going to spread. It's a Lower Greenville problem today, but as the southern sector, and particularly the Bishop Arts District and those areas around there, start to develop, as we all hope they will, you've got the very same problem. Start dealing with it now. You won't have to have a major overhaul later. Thanks.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item that was read into the record? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano, Mr. Atkins, you're not the one to speak, right?
No.
Okay, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to address Mr. Kingston. I would be willing to at least open up some discussion on this. But for this applicant, I would like to follow the staff and CPC recommendation, approval for 2 years, subject to site and plan conditions. I'd like to make that into a motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1460 for a Class A dance hall on property zoned in LC Light Commercial Subdistrict within Plan Development District number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District, on the west side of Travis Street, north of Armstrong Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 11 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the request, received no replies in favor and one reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Move to approve.
Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 54 is a public hearing for and an ordinance granting an amendment to the conditions to Plan Development Subdistrict number 86 for O-2 office subdistrict users within Plan Development District number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, in the area bounded by Carlisle Street, Cedar Springs Road, Vine Street, and Cole Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 52 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received four replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, you will be allowed 3 minutes. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Tommy Mann, 5400 Renaissance Tower, representing the applicant. We're in agreement with the staff and CPC recommendations. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hunt.
Move to approve.
The motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your item number 55. Item number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a WMU 8 walkable urban mixed-use 8 district on property zoned a GOA general office district on the northeast corner of North Central Expressway, US 75 and North Carroll Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Thank you. I am required, this is a designated public subsidy item. This statement will apply to items number 55, 56, 57, and 58. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Carl Parley, 900 Jackson Street, Suite 640, Dallas, Texas. I'm going to keep my comments brief because I think Ms. Medrano is going to ask that this be held 2 weeks till November 7th. I hope that's what she's going to ask. This is a request. It's a vacant piece of property, approximately 4 acres, at the intersection of Carroll and North Central Expressway. I guess to put in perspective, it's the contractor's maintenance yard that the state owns from the Central Expressway. So that's been, 10 more years ago. It's been vacant. It's owned by the state. We are purchasing that. Would like to build a five-story multifamily project. We've requested a walkable mixed-use district, a form-based district, because we think that best suits the development we're proposing. It will be approximately $45 to $50 million investment for a piece of property that today is obviously generating no tax dollars as it's owned by the state of Texas. We are still working on one little item with Ms. Medrano, and I think if she will give us the two-week delay, I think we can easily work it out. It's just an access issue about access to the service road. So otherwise, I'll just be here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Yes, can I have David come up? I have one question. I just want to know the difference between something.
Yes, ma'am.
David, what's the difference between the WMU and an urban mixed development?
That is the walkable urban mixed-use development. Is the WMU district within our current Article 13 that governs farm district zoning? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this is the same thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And on item 55, colleagues, I'd like to delay this till December 14th. Mr. Crowley came to my office yesterday afternoon, and I know that he had some personal business to deal with his daughter, and we weren't able to discuss this, so I would like to delay this till December 14th.
A motion and second to defer till
December
14th. Ms. Margolin?
Yeah, I just had a technical question. How is this a public subsidy matter? We were told that we had two, pardon?
What's a designated zone?
Mr. Evans? David?
I'm just wondering why it needed to.
Well, it's actually a designated zoning case. There's other ways to become a designated zoning case, including increasing the density over a certain level on a site. In this particular instance, I believe our threshold is 40 units, but that's why it's a designated matter.
So it
requires
2 seconds. Okay.
And we have a request that increases density to a certain level.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? All in favor of the deferment motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 56 is a public hearing for a specific use for a late hours establishment limited to a commercial amusement inside for a bowling alley on property zoned Plan Development District Number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on property bounded by Greenville Avenue, Lewis Street, Hope Street, and La Vista Court.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 60 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 22 replies in favor and 9 replies in opposition. Due to the denial by the City Plan Commission, it will require a 3/4 vote of City Council to approve this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This was the item that would be deferred.
Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm hopeful that we can continue to have conversations between some of the neighborhood leaders and the applicant on this over the course of the next week. So I'd like to leave the public hearing open and defer this item until November 7th.
We have a second from Ms. Alonzo. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for gas drilling and production on property zoned an IR Industrial Research District on the south side of Jefferson Boulevard, east of Hardy Road, adjacent to the water canal in the westernmost quadrant of the Hensley Field Airport and Naval Base.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 48 notices to property owners within 1,000 feet of the IRB request, received no replies in favor, and 7 replies in opposition. Due to the denial by the City Plan Commission, it would require a 3/4 vote to approve this.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Mayor.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to hold the public hearing open and to postpone the item until 30 days after the City Council votes on amendments to the gas drilling ordinance.
A motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 58 is a public hearing for and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within the Arts District Special Provision Sign District, Section 51A-1200 of the Dallas City Code, generally bounded by Flora Street, Leonard Street, Ross Avenue, and Crockett Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 5 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Likewise, on this item, I'd like to defer it until November 7th, unless, Mr. Mayor, you have a different date in mind. Okay, no. November 7th.
Thank you.
Leaving the public hearing open.
We have a motion and a second to defer it until November 7th. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is carried.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'm going to go ahead and take up items number 32 and 33, as that would be the natural progression for the public hearing items. Item number 32 and 33 were amended on the addendum and need to be considered collectively. We do have individuals signed up. Those names will be called first, after which it will be open to other individuals in the public. Item number 32 is a resolution. Number one, authorizing an agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad Company for the elimination of an at-grade railroad crossing located at Urban Avenue at its intersection with the Union Pacific Railroad tracks. Number two, the receipt and deposit of funds in the amount of $10,000 from the Union Pacific Railroad Company. And number three, establishment of appropriations in the amount of $10,000. Item number 33 is a public hearing to receive comments on the establishment of a quiet zone along the Union Pacific Rail Line corridor, and at the close of the public hearing, adopt an ordinance for the closure of Urban Avenue at its intersection with the Union Pacific Railroad tracks, a supplemental safety measure required by the Federal Railroad Administration, FRA Final Train Horn Rule 49 CFR Parts 222 and 229, with the intent to establish a quiet zone. Your first speaker on this item is Gay Pyrie. I apologize for the thank you. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Gay Pyrie. I live at 6647 Prairie Flower Trail. I'm here representing the enclave at Wood Creek. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members, for this opportunity to urge you to approve the permanent closure of Urban Avenue to establish the long-awaited quiet zone at the Jim Miller, Urban, and Buckner Boulevard crossings. My husband and I made the unwise choice 5 years ago to build our home in proximity to the railway with the understanding that a quiet zone was in the works. We had no knowledge of the many steps and years required to achieve such a feat and how severely our patience and tolerance would be tested when traffic on our tracks dramatically increased from the DART expansion. It proved too much for our developer and two builders and numerous neighbors who gave up hope of ever reaching this day. The hope of peaceful sleep without interruption from consistent train horn blasts throughout the day and night. And the promise of a fully developed community to stop the 36% decline in our property values. Those of us still standing are asking you to silence the horns that are too close, too loud, too long, and too often. Approve the permanent closure today that not only our community, but the thousands in Buckner Terrace, Everglade Park, Grove Hill, and Urbandale will reap the environmental and economic benefits of your positive action. Exercise your power to prove that good things do come to those who wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Darlene Reynolds.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Darlene Reynolds. I live at 5716 Hillcroft Street. I am chair of Buckner Terrace Homeowners and have an interesting position today where I get to come in and actually agree with something that's going on. We like to come down when we're in agreement. And we want to take this opportunity to thank you for making this change to Mr. Carraway and Ms. Davis, who worked tirelessly with us and with our adjoining neighborhood associations to improve the quality of life for all of us in the surrounding community. We really appreciate the support from the staff, and we thank you for this day finally coming.
Your next speaker is Michael Gibson.
Good afternoon to the mayor, honorable mayor, and the members of the city council. I'd like to give a special shout out to Mr. Carraway and Ms. Davis and their tireless fight to preserve the peace in the neighborhood. The train blew at 4:33 this morning, and also at 7:30, and probably somewhere in between there. I usually get up and read about that time, and if I don't get to sleep before, get into REM sleep before the 4:30, then I usually stay woke about another hour or so. So it is a quality of life issue. I've been over in Buckner Church about 10 years, and my sister's been there about 34 years, probably right along at the time of the new construction of the Buckner Church. And it's been an ongoing problem. I think what really, in retrospect, and you know, we can't do anything about what happened in the past, but basically, as a part of the planning process, I think probably the city planners should have created some type of permanent resolution for that in the beginning, because you can use things like heavy foliage, landscape techniques, berms, sound barriers, nice decorative walls or whatever, to mitigate this whole, could have alleviated this whole problem in the beginning. However, we're at this point in time, and with substantial more housing, over 2,600 houses in the neighborhood impacted by the sound, in addition to not including a bedside population of probably another, I don't know, maybe another 600-700 homes in the area. We're talking about well over 3,000 households being impacted, and probably a population of about 15,000 people being impacted by within a 2-mile radius of the train track on Forney in Urban, along with Buckner and Jim Miller and all of those stops that are outlined in this legislation and this ordinance. But I'm here today to speak in favor of closing the Urban street area in order to get the noise abatement we need, get the type of peace in the area by not allowing the train to blow their whistles during those stops. And we need to have this quiet zone invoked with appropriate signage and everything that goes with that to restore some type of balance. And I contend it's a public health issue, really, because you have kids, I'm sure the people that street lightly, they're impacted by this. You know, and kids go to school and they're sleep. I raised four kids, all of them grown. But what I'm saying is that basically they go to school, sleep disrupted. They can't focus on what the agenda at school is for the day. And it's really a public health issue. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
Nice talk.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers? Señor, si nos puede dar su
perdón, yo no sé inglés, pero buenas tardes, miembros de la ciudad. Quiero pedirles de la manera más atenta, a ver si es posible que sí cierren la Urban, porque molesta mucho el tren. Yo soy uno de los muy afectados, ya que estoy yo en la mera esquina de la vía del tren con la Urban. Y si fuera posible, me gustaría que sí cerraran definitivamente esa calle.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Sanchez of the City of Dallas. I'll be translating for Mr. Arona. Mr. Arona lives at 7203 Lovett, 75227, and he is in favor of closing Urban Avenue for permanently closing the street. All right, Mr. Arona, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Gracias.
Are there any other speakers?
Hello, my name is Harry Hooper. I wanted to thank you all for listening to this. I'm in favor of closing Urban Avenue. I just bought a home in Lakeside, or on Grove Hill, Enclave at Grove Hill. I moved in June. I had no idea about the train, and I had been unable to sleep at night. I'm woken up like on an hourly basis. I've been tried earplugs. I can't sleep in my master bedroom. I had to sleep in a back bedroom and, you know, put insulation on the wall. So it's really affecting, you know, me quite a bit, as well as a lot of my neighbors. And I didn't have much to say, but I want to let you know that. And I appreciate you consider it, and I wanted to thank everybody's hard work the last 4 years. I kind of get in the tail end of this thing, but I figured I'd show up and ask for this. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and let me say thanks to the neighbors. Let me also say thanks to the staff. Let me also reiterate what our last speaker has said, and it's been 4 years. And that tells you that there's a need for us to figure out a way to get things sped up so that it won't necessarily have to take so long for the neighbors to have to endure. As the other speaker said, good things come to those who wait. It's been a long time. This has been a long haul. There have been many, many, many meetings. There have been town hall meetings. There have been neighborhood meetings. There have been discussions and meetings in our offices and homes, and the disturbance that you all have endured. Finally, it's a great day. Two great things are happening today. One, that the quiet zone is going to go into effect, and two, the Rangers are going to win tonight in St. Louis. So that's a great day for us. This is something that until you've had a horn to blow, and I've talked to people on the telephone, and late at night you can hear that train disturbing. Even I'm on the other end in Oak Cliff, and I'm speaking out into the Buckner Terrace area, and it's like the horn is in my front door. That is something that has been an intrusion in on these communities. But I want to say this to you, Darlene and Carolyn, all of you there. Michael, I'm glad that you came down to speak. I was about to identify you, and I did with Ms. Coop, to let her know that you and I have been together since kindergarten. He is my kindergarten classmate, Michael Gibson, at Bethlehem over in South Dallas. So it takes a long time. And we, the new council, and behind our new mayor and his leadership, we're trying to figure out ways to speed things up. Hopefully others will not have to endure as long as you have had to endure. Let me offer an apology, because one, that train whistle has been blowing. It has awakened you at night. It has disturbed your sleep. It has been, on a good side for some folks, an alarm clock, but an alarm clock that we could do without. And I want to just give credence to our staff. I want to say to you all, from all of the screaming and the meetings and all of the things that you all have had to endure in my office, they never gave up. They always looked and found another way. There have been so many stumbling blocks in front of staff, but staff, you rolled up your sleeves and you found a way to get it done. So with that, Mayor, I'm going to move proudly to close the public hearing on this issue and to ask my colleagues to please approve this issue on behalf of sanctity for the folks in that area. And we will celebrate tonight. And I don't know when this horn is going to stop now, so don't go home and think it didn't. I don't know the time frame. Let me be real clear with that. Now, it's going to stop. We're going to pass it to stop. But now, they hadn't put a date on it, but it's very much intimate. So, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But it's going to stop.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
May I move approval? May I make a motion to move approval?
Second. Have a second. Do you want to say anything? Please.
First of all, I want to support Mr. Caraway on this. We've had several meetings. We have had several meetings about the quiet zone in his area. We share that area, so it's not his area or my area. We work together in the area to try to make a difference. So we will continue to work with staff. Can I just ask staff one question? Who is the staff person that's kind of working with the quiet zone? Thank you, Teresa. What's next?
Well, there's really only one more official process, which is on November 7th, you will see a resolution that approving the notice of establishment. That's something that's required by the Railroad Commission. And once that's done, we have to wait 21 days before the quiet zone is put into service. So hopefully we'll have a Christmas present for this neighborhood, and it'll be quiet by then.
And then once 21 days is over, then, Teresa, will there be a time frame when they can blow the whistle, or can the whistle not be blown at all?
I believe the whistle can't be blown at all. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so from, and let me ask one more just so they can get a clear understanding. It will go from where to where?
The quiet zone that's been established will go basically the crossings of Jim Miller, Urban, and Buckner. So it will encompass three different railroad crossings.
Okay. Now, there are other areas, for example, in District 7 and along Bear Street, where the whistle is still blowing. Can we use the same thing to try to do that, or is it just in that particular area? Because this train, from my understanding, goes a long way. It's a long stretch. So what do we do about areas who are complaining, like on Bear Street, about the train that's blowing its whistle?
These are geographically specific, so okay. We'll have to look at that one individually.
Would you, Teresa?
Yes, ma'am.
Please. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Keith, let me ask you a question. Why did this one, 4 years ago we identified those areas that we were going to have quiet zones in. And I'm not sure, why did this one take so long? Because some of them have been established.
Well, we've established one. The primary reason with this one is a little bit more complicated. It's three different crossings. And the diagnostic team initially with Urban was going to require gates to do,
right,
as opposed to closing the street. Closing the street ended up being the less expensive option. But in the process of doing all this, we lost staffing due to budget constraints, so we didn't really have anybody designated to work on it. So we've just been kind of piecing it together and moving it along. So we've worked with the Railroad Administration and with council members' offices, because they paid for some of the things that we've had to do to get it to where we are today.
The quiet zone crossings, in order to, the federal regulations require trains to blow their horns when they come to these intersections.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be compensating safety measures if the horn's not going to be blown.
And
typically they're very expensive.
Well,
this one happened to just work out because closing Urbandale was inexpensive and the railroad was able to give the city $10,000. And so it became a relatively inexpensive quiet zone to enact.
Well, we were supposed to establish certain standards for different types of at-grade intersections and what kind of mechanisms were required by the transportation department in the city, whether they be a box, cutting off completely,
mm-hmm,
the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several different methodologies to do that, and they're based on the amount of safety and the amount of traffic that goes through. So I'm not happy to hear that we've had one that's taken this long. So, Keith, why don't you and Teresa come to my office and tell me, there were a list of quiet zones originally that the city identified several years ago. Which ones of those have been completed, and which ones we need completion? You're saying that we didn't have the staffing. If that's the case, well, we need to understand that a little bit more. The identification of the $10,000 is just really very minimal for this kind of project. So I know that wasn't the reason why.
So, but
the FRA compliance, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do understand the FRA compliance procedures that you need to go through, but that it took this long is really troubling to me. So I just need to understand a little bit more about it, because I was under the impression that, it was pretty much a set procedure that we were going to follow in order to accomplish these quiet zones.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yes,
you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. Wait a minute. Please, Ms. Davis. We've lost our, because we just have a certain number for a quorum here, so you don't anybody leave. So we have a motion and a second. No more discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now with item number 59 is a public hearing on the proposed City of Dallas Fiscal Year 2011-2012 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan and, at the close of the public hearing, consideration of approval of the City of Dallas Fiscal Year 2011-2012 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? Mr. Griggs?
On behalf of the Housing Committee, I'll move approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
A second. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 60 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 10 to the fiscal year 2008-2009 consolidated plan for the neighborhood stabilization program and, at the end of the public hearing, authorize number 1, final adoption of substantial amendment number 10 to the fiscal year 2008-2009 consolidated plan for the neighborhood stabilization program, number 2, the receipt and deposit of program income in the amount of $1,200,000 in the neighborhood stabilization program fund, and number 3, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $1,200,000 to be used for similar eligible activities. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve. To close the public hearing.
Medrano, we have a second. Ms. Hato. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes your agenda items. We proceed now with your afternoon speakers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. If you would please state your name and address for the record. Comments are to be addressed to Mayor Raleigh. Your first speaker is Bill Ray Thomas. Mr. Thomas will be followed by Patricia Kirby, Ozumba Lunk, Richard Sheridan, Marvin Crenshaw, Jared Wand, and Robert Ciccarelli. Please state your name and address for the record, sir. You may proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, City Council.
Good afternoon.
Pull up the
microphone. Right there. Just pull up a little higher.
All right.
Pull it up there. There we go. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, City Councilman. My name is Bill Thomas. Address is 1822 Young Street. I come on the behalf of the Dallas Bridge that's located 1818 Carson County. I noticed that all the a lot of other shelters have the store inside of their vendor machine inside of their shelter. The bridge don't have this, and I have noticed that everybody that comes to the bridge, which is basically a lot of them hang out there, have to go distance to purchase snacks and what have you. So my thing was to see about some type of snack store inside of the bridge.
I don't know why we haven't done it.
Thank you.
If I could.
Yeah, Mr. Carraway.
I was visiting down at the market on Sunday, and I was over in the area where they sell the pumpkins on Harwood. And I continued to see people come to the vending machine that's located on Harwood. And I had visited, Mr. Thomas had come to visit with me, and he had expressed that he wanted to have a snack shop or
open up some type of store. It just all happened that Sunday I was looking at people leaving the bridge to come over to Harwood to purchase snacks and sodas. And I too wonder why we didn't have a machine there, and I'm sure that there are some reasons behind it. But whatever they are, or whatever they may be, the problem that we've had, Ms. Madrona, some of the concerns with people leaving the bridge, well, they have to leave the bridge if they're going to go get the snacks. But if it were a store or something closer there, then they would not have a reason to go all the way to Harwood. Yeah. Then another thing, and I'll say this in short, we have talked about even making the other side of the bridge the official entryway. But it's something that I think you as an entrepreneur looking for an opportunity, I would ask somebody to kind of get with him and let's see if we can come up possibly with something that may could begin to have that process where it's some snacks or something that's available under the guidelines of whatever the homeless rules are at the bridge.
And
so somebody would get with you.
Yeah. Also, the farmer's market is not too happy about individuals from the shelter coming there, no way. So
if we had something closer there,
yeah,
and that'd give somebody. So I would ask someone from staff to get with him and let's see what's happening.
That's fine, Mr. Thomas. I was just going to suggest that you call Jay Dunn up at the bridge and talk to him first, and that's probably the fastest way to get this going. Okay. And I'll mention that you'll talk to him. I'm sure, frankly, the reason it went away is that we're giving away food for free there, and there's a sense that they're homeless and there's not going to be any money to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
the truth of the matter is there probably is. And they shouldn't be going outside to do that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, even I noticed that the Dallas Life Foundation built a store inside a facility, and they take food stamps.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Patricia Kirby.
Mr. Mayor and the City Council members, good evening. My name is Patricia Kirby. I live at 1512 Yellowbird Court in DeSoto, Texas, 75115. My telephone number is 469-386-6974. Okay, this is regarding case number DC-8305680. Let this letter be read into the record. The City of Dallas asks the court to order its provider attorney. The question now is why the delay? I am a member of Clean for Environmental Justice. Otis Fagan Seniors is the president. I am here to request the mayor and the council to expedite this process and abide by the court ruling and give us our court attorney. There is no excuse for this case to be prolonged. I urge you, Mr. Mayor, in the name of justice, to abide by under the laws of the Constitution, which is supposed to be the foundation of this country, legal system, to supply equal rights and opportunity for parties to resolve this case by giving us an attorney to review the court order with us and be well aware of the duties placed upon him by it and are delirious and capable of carrying out those duties in full compliance. I appeal to you, Mr. Mayor, and the City Council to move quickly to give us the court attorney and allow him to assist us with what has been denied to us in the court order in reference to housing, welfare, and public health. The city in actions is forcing me and other in this community to go into poverty. The city in actions is forcing me to pay medical bills. The city in actions is forcing me to pay funeral costs for loved ones. When the city abides by the law, the city action under the court order would not be at a cost to the City of Dallas any more than the court order. Although board reference expenses covered by the trust fund, of which the Clean Environmental Justice have filed claims with the City Attorney General Office. I appreciate a written response as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Azumba Lunt. Not present, Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw, Jared Wand, Robert Ceccarelli.
Yes, good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Here to speak about the Occupy Dallas Group and the homeless. There was a great article about the Occupy National Cities group in Sunday's Dallas Morning News. And here's some quotes. When Occupy Wall Street protesters took over two parks in Portland's soggy downtown, they pitched 300 tents and offered free food, medical care, and shelter to anyone. They weren't just building, like so many other brethren across the nation, a community to protest what they see as corporate greed. They also created an ideal place for the homeless. Some were already living in the parks, while others were drawn from elsewhere to encampments' open doors. Now protesters from Portland to Los Angeles to Atlanta are trying to distinguish between homeless people who are joining their movement and those who are there for amenities. When night falls in Portland, for instance, protesters have been dealing with fights, drunken arguments, and display of the occasional knife. However, many homeless say the protests have helped them speak out against the economic troubles that sent them to the streets in the first place. Specific to Dallas, here's some points, allegations, and recommendations I'd like to make. One, as with Katrina, Dallas opens its arms to visitors, to outsiders in need, but when it comes to our homeless, especially in a time when homelessness is the worst it's been since the Great Depression, we are still relatively heartless. A long time ago, before the bridge, Dallas could have set up a homeless tent city at a much better location than City Hall. The immediate positive result today would be the elimination of downtown Dallas not being a bathroom with the smell of feces and urine at almost every city block, and the elimination of so-called bums bothering certain people. The longer-term result would be the pay-later homeless cost would be cut in half or maybe a third. And God will stop punishing Dallas for its heartlessness towards the homeless. Two, I allege that some of the Occupy Dallas people are pedophiles, sexual deviants, and terrorists. Three, I recommend the identification of all occupiers now camping out at City Hall be documented, that all criminal records or warrants be immediately should be removed immediately for the safety of our city, put in jail, and that ID tags be issued to all that remain on city property. Mayor, if you believe that all occupiers are good people, then I'd like to sell you shares in the county's new Ferris wheel. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw. Not present. Jared Wong.
Good afternoon. My name is Jared Wonde. I'm the president, Dallas, Texas area local APW. Earlier, my co-workers, they spoke about it, and then also, since I spoke to you guys about 3 weeks, I have to be at the end of the line to speak in front of the city council. But I heard some of you guys wants to know exactly what can be done, and the closing of the facility or consolidation is not done at the national level. That's going to be done as the deciding factor will be here at the district and the Southwest Area Vice President, which is located also on Dallas 7800 Stemmen Freeway. And before they do that, the law required them to do the input from the public, from residents and customers. They are doing right now this area mail processing visibility study. Has already started it. In fact, once I went back to the office, I found out they have a town hall meeting in the main post office, and basically without notifying you guys. And Mr. Atkins, he said he met with the postmaster. I think the acting postmaster was Yolanda Love, and she has nothing to do with this study because she is part of the station. She is dealing with the four stations that's going to be closed. In fact, 1100 Commerce is going to be closed November 4th. That's the letter I received. And they're not notifying you guys. So I'm going to provide you with the contact information to the district manager, Tim Verling, and the Southwest Area Vice President, which is Linda Walsh. And you can request a meeting with them, along with us, with the Carrier Union, Mail Handler, and the APW. So we have the document to support, because Dallas is one of the profitable ones. And also for the future employment, for years to come, that facility has been employing tens of thousands of people throughout the years, so in the future it's not going to have any. And also we got our own initiative. We collect petitions from around the businesses, at the bank, the grocery store, and I'll submit to you guys on the record, we have close to 5,000 petitions, and we continue to gather those around that area. That's going to impact it. Even though some of them, they're not living there, they're using that. So we're also going to do an informational rally. If you guys really show us the support, join us November 7th in front of main post office. We're going to start 7, but if you guys show up, 8:30 would be great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Not present. Larry Gibson. Not present. William Hopkins. Not present. Charles Goodrum. Not present.
Mr. Luntz came in just a few moments late, so I'll let him speak.
Ozumba Luntz?
Mayor, I understand that you were in the neighborhood yesterday. A couple of people called and told you were in the community. Hope you had a good time. But anyway, what I would like to say, I've been coming down here now about 6 years, and November will be 7 years. No one would talk to me. I want to talk to the mayor and the chief of police. No one would talk to me concerning me and my family members. I pray that nothing happens, and one day you have to say he tried to talk to us about something that happened. But, you know, you refuse to do so. I hope that when you pray and you go to church to God here, you ask us to vote for us and you are representing, but you won't hear us. That's not what God intended. He said, obey the laws of the land, as long as they are consistent with the word of God. 12 years ago, is not really resolved. Something happened 12 years ago. I made a promise. I'm going to call it a promise, but you know what I mean, an option word. All of you, if you hear me, like I said, what have happened to me in this chamber and in this county also, in the city of Dallas, has been a grave miscarriage of justice and criminal. I was treated like a criminal for defending my life. And I was, you know, charged with deadly conduct. It was dropped. The jail threw it out. And what will God do when you ask for him to hear you? You know, we have led in our community. We've had a vessel plant. We had everything, asphalt, fertilizer, infrastructure, terrible. You know, we're supposed to be a part of Citadel. We pay taxes and everything, but actually we're not a part of Citadel. A lot of people don't know, but I know better. You know, I've been around for a while, and I understand right from wrong. I know that I have been treated wrong, and a grave miscarriage of justice has been perpetrated upon me and my family and a lot of other members of my community, West Dallas. Been in West Dallas 62 years. I'm 65. I stayed there, not because I had to, because I love my people and my community, and I wanted to make a difference. I worked at Lowe's Anatole as a bartender, Radisson as a bartender, and Marriott. I opened up all those places here at Marriott. I used to sit down frequently and talk to Mr. Marriott Sr. when he come to Dallas, me and I were good friends. Some of the people didn't like it because I could sit down and talk to the man. Kick back, man. They was afraid to, but you know Ozumba. Ozumba was going to talk. You know, me and Mr. Marriott Sr. had a lot of good times. He was a Mormon, as you know. Well, I'm through, but I'll be down here. I'm going to be praying all the time because I feel like God is with me. And we're going to see what happens in the future. I'm finished. I'm glad that at least Terrell Bowden did talk to me at one time and said, Ozumba, I'm sorry what happened to you. And I'm pretty sure many of you know what Terrell Bowden was. God bless you, Terrell Bowden. I don't know where you are now. God bless you all. God bless your children. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luntz.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 2:18.